"Go on, then, answer it," she sighed and sat down. The door admitted Corporal Littlebottom, seriously out of breath.
"You got to come quick, sir. It's murder this time."
Vimes looked helplessly at his wife. "Of course you must go," she said. Angua brushed out her hair in front of the mirror. "I don't like this," said Carrot. "It's not a proper way to behave." She patted him on the shoulder. "Don't worry," she said. "Vimes explained it all. You're acting as though we're doing something wrong." "I like being a watchman," said Carrot, still in the mournful depths. "And you've got to wear a uniform. If you don't wear a uniform, it's like spying on people. He knows I think that." Angua looked at his short red hair and honest ears. "I've taken a lot of the work off his shoulders," Carrot went on. "He doesn't have to go on patrol at all, but he still tries to do everything." "Perhaps he doesn't want you to be quite so helpful," said Angua, as tactfully as possible. "It's not as if he's getting any younger, either. I've tried to point that out." "That was kind of you. And I've never worn plain clothes." "On you they'll never be very plain," said Angua, pulling on her coat. It was a relief to be out of that armour. As for Carrot, there was no disguising him. The size, the ears, the red hair, the expression of muscular good-naturedness. "I suppose a werewolf is in plain clothes all the time when you think about it," said Carrot. "Thank you, Carrot, and you're absolutely right. I just don't feel comfortable living a lie. Walk a mile on these paws. Pardon? Oh, nothing." Gorif's son, Janil, had been angry. He didn't know why. The anger was built up of a lot of things. The firebomb last night was a big part. So were some of the words he'd been hearing in the street. He'd had an argument with his father about sending that food round to the watch house this morning. They were an official part of the city. They had those stupid badges. They had uniforms. He was angry about a lot of things, including the fact that he was 13. So when at 9 in the evening, while his father was baking bread, the door had slammed back and a man had rushed in, Janil had pulled his father's elderly crossbow from under the counter and aimed it where he thought the heart was, and pulled the trigger. Carrot stamped his feet once or twice and looked around. "Here," he said. "I was standing here, and the prince was in that direction." Angua obediently walked across the square. Several people turned to look curiously at Carrot. "All right, stop. No, on a bit. Stop. Turn a little bit to the left. I mean my left. Back a bit. Now. Throw your arms up." He walked over to her and followed her gaze. "He was shot from the university." "Looks like the library building," said Angua. "But a wizard wouldn't do it, surely. They keep out of that sort of thing." "Oh, it's not too hard to get in there, even when the gates are shut," said Carrot. "Let's try the unofficial way, shall we?" "Okay." "Carrot?"
"Yes?"
"The, false moustache. It's not you, you know. And the nose is far too pink. Doesn't it make me look inconspicuous?"
"No. And the hat. I should lose the hat, too. It's a good hat," she added quickly, "but a brown bowler is not your style. It doesn't suit you."
"Exactly," said Carrot. "If it was my style, people would know it's me, right?"
"I mean it makes you look like a twerp, Carrot."
"Do I normally look like a twerp?"
"No, not..."
"Aha!" Carrot fumbled in the pocket of his large brown overcoat. "I got this book of disguises from the joke shop in Phaedra Road. Look, funny thing, Nobby was in there buying stuff too. I asked him why, and he said it was desperate measures. What do you think he meant by that?"
"I can't imagine," said Angua.
"It's just amazing the stuff they've got. False hair, false noses, false beards, even false..."
He hesitated and began to blush. "Even false, you know, chests. For ladies. But I can't imagine for the life of me why they'd want to disguise those."
He probably couldn't, Angua thought. She took the very small book from Carrot and glanced through it. She sighed.
"Carrot, these disguises are meant for a potato."
"Are they?"
"Look, they're all on potatoes, see?"
"I thought that was just for display."
"Carrot, it's got Mr. Spuddyface on it."
Behind his thick black moustache, Carrot looked hurt and perplexed.